They might be composite.
It's not flexible at all. That sucks, no, dude.
Fucking the boot's like 12 pounds. It's crazy.
What?
Yeah, it's so.
The fuck, he's wearing cinder blocks dude, on his feet.
That's what he wore when we went to Isle Royale. And I shit you not, we one of the days it was raining or whatever, and he got a bunch of water in his boot. And he's like, dude, my feet are wet. And I'm like, yeah, like mine are wet too, but like I think it's just sweat. Like it's not bad. And we got to the place where we were camping.
He poured out water.
He poured out, I mean, fucking half a Nalgene.
God,
like, it was crazy. Like he's like, yeah, check this out. And he pours it out. I'm like, God, really? Like, what the fuck?
Welcome back to Knox and Nature, the podcast about archery, hunting, hiking, conservation, firearms, and whatever else you feel like talking about. Episode 20. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
There's sweet. That stupid ass Windows Woo. Update. Right. Yeah. It's also April. First episode of April.
Summer's coming.
Yeah, man. I'm excited. So, speaking of April, turkey season's coming up. I got the early season, so I'm excited for that.
What are the dates on that?
It's like April 19th to May 3rd or something like that.
Oh, so that's like real close.
So, yeah, it's close.
Are you just using your shotgun?
Yeah, I think so. I have, I don't know. Like, I would love to use my bow, but I have limited time that I can get out because I can really only hunt the weekends.
Right. Where are you hunting at? Scott's property?
Same place that we hunted for whitetail. What the heck, dude? So, yeah, I don't know. I would love to hunt with my bow, but like I said, with limited weekends, I want to give myself the best chance of success for the turkey.
Yeah.
I'd have to check the regulations because, like, in a perfect world, I could have both. I also haven't set my bow up for turkey hunting. It's right. A little late.
Yeah, that's...
The other thing is I'm not getting rid of that bow, so I can always, like... Next year, I could always take that out. And
right.
I've never shot a turkey because I just got into turkey hunting
a
couple of years ago.
I've never been serious about turkey hunting. I've went out a couple of times. Usually whenever I buy a tag, I buy the May tag.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go out on the first day and I go out on the last day.
Really?
And that's about it. I've never taken it very seriously.
I just like being out in the woods, I think. I think it's just the idea of hunting.
Yeah.
In the springtime, like, it's just different. It's so different from whitetail hunting.
Right.
That people say it's pretty similar to elk hunting.
Yeah, I would like to do it more. I just, for some reason, never have. I'm just kind of, I'm going to walk around the woods with a shotgun or a bow or whatever. And just
see, that's not how I do it, though. I set up decoys.
Yeah, right. I've never done that.
And I call them in. And it's not hard there. Like, I guarantee you if I go turkey hunting, I'll see turkeys.
Oh, yeah. I saw turkeys when we were deer hunting.
Yeah.
September.
Right. So I'll see turkeys. What my guess is I'll probably see 5 or 6 hens, and I'll probably have 2 or 3 jakes, maybe a tom. Usually the toms don't get to that property until the evening, which is really annoying.
Yeah.
Because evening hunting turkeys is super frustrating because that property, what's left of it, is hardwoods. And so they're roosting.
Yeah.
And the hard part about that is the closer they get to their trees for roosting, the later it gets. And turkey hunting, last light is 30 minutes before sunrise.
Right.
So you're pretty much done, like, the second it starts to, like, right now. We'd be done turkey hunting for sure.
What we should do if you end up, whatever weekend works for you, if I'm not doing anything, go out and film for you.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
That'd be sweet.
That would be awesome. I got my camera out today. I need to get more SD cards for it, because I only got one right now, and it only has 64 gigs of storage. So I only get, like... I've got some footage on there from deer season, and I think I have like 20 minutes left of footage. Puppy talk.
That's funny. I think I only have like 1 or 2 SD cards that are both 32, so it probably wouldn't work very well.
No, and they have to be a specific type of SD card. It has to be like a high-speed one.
Yeah.
Because it shoots in 4K.
Oh.
So there's that. Like, it's just, it's, it gets weird with some of the settings, but it is, it's super cool. And I have two lapel mics, so we can be mic'd up and we don't even have to have the camera like pointed towards us.
Oh, really?
And they'll be able to pick up, like, hey, you on him? Yeah, I'm on him. Boom! Shotgun goes off, or the bow.
That'd be pretty sweet.
Yeah. The thing is I would have to, I could do it. I'd have to spend some money on it. I have to pattern my turkey shotgun anyway, just pretty much just double check it.
Yeah.
It should be damn close.
Right.
But just double check that shotgun, and then I would just probably buy one of the compound flu-flus for it and a guillotine broadhead and
yeah.
just sight the bow into like 25 yards
right.
and run it. The hard part is once the turkey is in range, being able to move your bow into position, draw, and get on target without the turkey seeing you.
Mm-hmm.
That's the hard part.
Do you have a ground blind?
No, it got destroyed by that. I mean,
I have a small one that you could use, but it wouldn't fit two people in it. And I don't know if
you won't be able to shoot out of it.
Yeah, I don't know if
I had a giant.
I actually, I have one that you could shoot out of.
Shout out to Barnett Blinds. I had a giant ground blind that I could stand up in and shoot my bow out of if I wanted to. It was sweet. But it got destroyed in one of the storms during, because it was on Scott's property and
yeah.
it was, yeah, did not do well. But I don't know. Last year, I didn't have any turkeys that I felt. I had two Jakes with like 3-inch beards come into range.
Yeah.
I didn't see any Toms. But I just sat, like, because it's Christmas trees, right? Most of that. There's some cedar trees, and I just sit against a tree.
Right.
And I don't wear Sitka turkey hunting. Because Elevated 2 is like fall color based.
What do you wear?
Mossy Oak.
Oh.
Yeah.
yeah.
Not bottomland, just like breakup country.
Right.
Old school.
Yeah.
Mossy Oak camo.
Huh.
Because I still have all my old stuff. And turkey season, especially in the later season, which is what I normally get tags for, I don't need to be warm.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter what I'm wearing for the most part, you know. You know, it's not like, it's not super breathable. It's not form-fitting. You know, there's baggier clothing, whatever. But it's cheap hunting camo. Like, it's not a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's functional. So, yeah. But Salomons, you know, I wear my Salomons with just, like, camo pants and shirt. And I have, like, a mesh head thing, gloves.
Yeah.
And super lightweight setup. My shotgun's camo. It's technically a duck hunting. Is this Realtree Max 5?
Hmm.
So it's technically for a, it's technically a duck hunting camo, but it's not black.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think that part plays in my advantage. And I had turkeys well within range. They came, they walked straight up, like the Toms or the Jakes last year, walked straight up to my Tom decoy, beat the shit out of him, and then walked like 5 yards past me as I'm sitting against the tree.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. And that was all with the diaphragm call because I was not good with the pot call yet.
Yeah.
The pot call really for me is, I don't know. I'm not super confident with it because I can get it to sound good after I mess with it for a minute.
Right.
Versus like a diaphragm call, I could just pop it in and immediately I can start making turkey noises. Not that they sound, I mean, I'm not the best caller in the world,
yeah.
but I've called in several turkeys before, so.
I've always used the box call.
Box calls work great, too. Yeah.
I don't even have one.
I don't know.
I don't have any sort of turkey calls right now.
I feel like I'm like definitely louder with a diaphragm call than I am with a pot call. A box call is probably just as loud, if not louder, than a diaphragm call.
Yeah.
But a diaphragm call, your hands free.
Mm-hmm.
So I can have my shotgun in my hands and just
yeah, know. I like the idea of that a lot more.
Yeah.
Than making a bunch of movement.
Yeah. So that would be, that'd be really sweet, dude. If we could get these deer origin camo would be perfect turkey season.
Mm-hmm.
Hunted camo. So Actually, I want to talk about camo for a minute. Because I, from our trip to Utah, I bought a pair of pants to wear out there hiking, whatever, just as like a backup set. Because I brought a couple pair of my Sika pants and hiked around, and, you know, they're whatever. They're flexible. They're breathable. They worked fine. But I bought a pair of pants that performed just as well, if not better, than any pair of Sika pants I own. Just as durable, if not more. Super affordable, stretchy, breathable. Loved them. Will probably make them, like, I will probably hunt in them again.
What are they?
They're Wranglers.
Really?
Bought them at Meijer. They were like $30.
Hmm.
And they're like some outdoor utility pant.
Really?
But they're made out of like a similar material to Cordura. And they've got like some polyester stretch to them or whatever. Yeah. Spandex or whatever they call it. They work great.
Huh.
They don't have a quiver in the hip.
Yeah.
You know, but they work great.
Well, I was buying those pants from Costco. I don't remember what brand they are.
Yep.
But I was buying those things. And they don't last super long because they're pretty stretchy or whatever.
Were they the Orvis?
I think I have some Orvis ones, but there was another brand that I was wearing that I liked better than the Orvis ones. And, but the like elastic in them starts to break down eventually.
Yeah.
And then you get a, like a fuzzy look.
Yeah.
And they just kind of.
That's why I had to stop wearing.
And they're super baggy on me.
That's why I had to stop wearing Levi jeans. Because Levi's started putting that stretchy material in all of their denim.
Yeah. In all of it.
Yeah.
You can't get it without.
You can't get it without. And so I just blow the ass right out of them. Or the knees would get too thin and all that stuff would start breaking down and you get holes in your knees. Yeah. And I hate wearing jeans with holes in them.
I would blow out all of the rear pockets or like one time I was, I think I squatted down to pick up some steel.
Yeah. Split the seam.
Yep.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah.
That
was entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
That also happened with my Wranglers though, so.
I've done it with Carhartts, but my Carhartt pants were like 4 or 5 years old at that point.
My Wranglers were like a year, maybe two.
Yeah. They don't last. Those will last longer than any pair of Wranglers you've ever had.
I bought the Western. I had the Western. One of the pairs I had were the Western fit or whatever.
Without the spandex in them or whatever? Without the stretch?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, they were still baggy split? On me. They were baggy. They were boot cut. Like they, yeah, and they wore out. I forget if it was the ass or the crotch that split, but yeah. And then the pockets also ripped up.
Because I have a pair of those jeans that I've had for, I think, 3 years now. And they're baggy on me because I've lost weight for, you know, whatever. But the only thing that happened was I caught a piece of steel on, like, the lower pant leg, similar to what you did yesterday. And there's a small hole in it. Or not yesterday, but Friday. And there's a small hole in the pant. But I still wear them for work jeans because they work just fine. The only thing I don't like about those, for reference, these are the cowboy cut that you can get from, like, Tractor Supply. The only difference I don't like about those, if it's the original fit cowboy cut, is their pockets are a lot shallower.
Yeah, these pockets are tiny.
So your phone kind of sits, it kind of, like, rubs into your hip.
Hmm.
So I always end up putting my phone in my back pocket when I wear those jeans.
That and the crotch is tight.
Yeah, they're not really built for comfort. They're built for work if they last. But we're all super hard on clothing.
Whatever. Yeah.
Bringing that all around to these Wrangler pants, it really makes me, like, double guess everything that, you know, I buy now. Even something like the Dewpoint jacket. I love that jacket. It performs better than any rain jacket I've ever owned. But in my head, I'm still like, there's no way this thing's worth $370.
No.
I would never pay full price for it.
I mean, I paid, I think, $100 for mine.
Yeah, I think mine was $120.
Yeah, but it's not worth. Yeah,
there's no way. It's just, when you have something, when you have a product that is literally fractions of the, I mean, the average pair of Sika pants is like $250.
Yeah.
So you have something that's, you have a pair of pants that's legitimately $200 cheaper. Why would you not go with the cheaper option if they function almost identically? Is there, like, for instance, Sika has like the Equinox guard pants, which have like a little mesh elastic thing at the bottom to keep ticks out and whatnot. Yeah, the Wranglers aren't going to have that, right? They're not going to have insect repellent, like an ESW pant. They're not going to have a waterproof seat like the Equinox pants do.
Yeah, I think the only difference is probably longevity. Like, those Wranglers probably won't last as long. I mean, if they do, that'd be crazy.
I bet they will. Because really? The Sika, so? I'm just going to be honest with you, most of the Sika pants are really fragile.
Really?
My Equinox pants, yeah, you walk through, like, I walked through some briars and picked them all off. No.
Wow.
Nope. They it's everything. These, I'm wearing the Sika Range pants right now. These are the most durable pair of Sika pants that I own, because these are mostly Cordura.
Yeah.
They're super durable.
Yeah, I don't own any Sika pants.
The Equinox pants are super soft, super comfortable, but they are fragile. They're amazing. Like, they the functionality on those pants is great.
Yeah.
But the durability is just like, oh, man. It sucks. Sucks for sure. What's your primary hunting pants? Do you have Origin pants that you wear hunting? Or?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For a long time, I was wearing the Prana Zions.
Okay.
And those are pretty nice. And then I started wearing them to work, and I kind of trashed them. But, yeah, I have a couple pair of, I think it actually might be Scentlock.
Yeah,
buddy. I
have
a pair of Scentlock pants that I wore for a long time. And now, yeah, like this year I wore some Origin pants. I don't remember. Nylock something or other.
I really like those 308 pants from First Light.
Yeah.
I want to get a pair of those.
Those do look pretty sweet.
I want to diversify and then get rid of the stuff that, like, I don't like the Fanatic hoodie.
Really?
Yeah, I don't. It's not warm. I don't understand. Like, the face mask is the only cool part of it. I was drinking the Sika Kool-Aid, and
yeah, it happened.
This is the workhorse of the Sika system, and I'm like, oh, I obviously need this, and then you can't wear it. The only time I wear it is, like, early season October, you know, early season archery, when it gets when it starts getting darker. You know, when, if it's, like, 60 degrees during the day and it gets down to, like, 55, I might throw that on at the end of my sit just to for an extra layer to stay warmer. But, that's pretty much it. Other than that, the only reason it's in my system is for the face mask. It's got built-in face mask with the hood.
That's pretty cool.
And it works better than what would now be the Traverse hoodie. It used to be called the Equinox hoodie. Or the Gradient is actually the one that I have because it's solid color.
Right.
I'm going to a lot of solid color stuff now, too.
Yeah, I've started buying everything in solid color. I have that one piece of Origin that is not.
The sweatshirt?
This, I have the sweatshirt and I have a t-shirt that's not. I did get the t-shirt for free, though, so there's that.
Yeah, I mean, part of that is also, like, the hoodie. I mean, because I have a Mossy Oak, like, pullover hoodie.
Mm-hmm.
Some of that's just, like, if I'm going to go out and just, like, shoot my boat. Like, you just wear camo because it's like, we're wearing camo. It's not necessarily, like, I'm going to go hunting with that specific. Even I'm not buying it necessarily to hunt with it. You know what I mean?
You know what I noticed about the Origin camo?
What's that?
Is it kind of looks like the Burton camo.
Yeah?
Yeah. Have you guys noticed that?
I think
like
it looks
Burton like the snowboard?
Yeah. Have you seen their camo?
No.
Probably.
They have, you have to look it up. It's kind of funny. I was scrolling through
Origin, you know, seems like a sports brand more than a hunting brand.
They're hunting, but yeah, I don't know. I was scrolling through. And
there
was,
is much of a hunting
brand.
I was like,
oh, I don't know that Origin thing or whatever. Then I was like, oh, fuck, that's Burton. I'm like, what the hell?
There is much as of a hunting company as Filson would be.
I don't think Filson's a hunting company.
I don't think
that's
Filson.
That's my point.
I mean, they have a whole hunt line. They have base layers, outer layers, mid layers.
Origin makes so base layers Nike specifically for hunting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, you, there's a reason why you can get a Mackinac jacket in blaze orange. You
yeah, I mean? Right. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. They got a hunt line.
I don't want to shit on Origin. I like the idea of it.
I do. Let's do it.
I like the idea of it. I think it's a little gimmicky.
It's a little
with
bit.
Some of their stuff. They're a little bit over the top because they play into the Jocko Kool-Aid.
Oh, yeah.
You know? But selling point, that's marketing, right?
They market the USA stuff hard.
Yeah, that's great. I 100% props to them. They're making the shit in the U.S. with U.S. materials, or they make their own materials. Like, that's badass. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. But if you're talking about functionality of pieces, there's, like, I would 10 out of 10 times rather wear my Sika Gradient hoodie or my Celsius Midi, 10 out of 10 times, even with the stupid-ass Elevated 2 camo pattern on it, over your Origin hoodie.
Oh, yeah.
Because
the
your
Origin hoodie is just a hoodie.
It's just a hoodie.
It's just a hoodie that they made camo.
Right, that they just put their camo on.
Yeah, and that's
which
how
is
a lot
what
of
happens
their...
with, like, Mossy Oak Bottomland with a Carhartt hoodie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a warm-ass hoodie with a camo pattern on it, but it's just a hoodie.
Right.
Versus, like, if you have a form-fitting hoodie to start with, on like, on your body, then a form-fitting hood that you can actually turn your head with and you're not restricting your movement or having excess material everywhere.
Yeah.
You have a built-in face mask. You have functional pockets in places. So you have, like, you know, a rangefinder pocket, or, you know, the Gradient right. hoodie specifically just has, like, a zipper, like a breast pocket and a kangaroo pouch. Mm-hmm. But that's the part to me where I'm like, okay, even you have, like, thumb holes, which I don't use, you know, but to keep your hands a little bit warmer, sure.
Yeah.
That's what's missing from Origin's hunting line is
yeah,
the functionality
and I don't know,
of the pieces.
I mean, honestly, I don't. I only have from their hunt line or whatever. I have that sweatshirt, which is just it's the same sweatshirt as you just buy, pick the color, and camo is one of the colors.
Yeah.
I don't have any of their hunt stuff. Mm-hmm. So I have a t-shirt that was kind of the same thing. But I think their outerwear is a little more purpose-driven, but I don't know for sure. I really want one, but
they
it's expensive.
Have, but they have so, guys yeah. on their team to do it, right? Dudley's on the team.
Yeah.
He can do it.
I think they're starting. Like, I think they're
no,
working
that's,
on it.
So that's what I'm excited for.
Right.
Right now, to say, like, these guys are leading the innovation within the hunting space for, you know, as far as, like, camo goes. It's like, no.
No.
They're not. But I like the... I would stand behind the brand.
Yeah.
I like what they're doing. Boy, I wonder what Jared's doing back there. Just heard a bunch of ice cubes crack open. Yeah, I mean, I stand behind the brand. I like the message that they put out, you know, and what they stand for. But I would just like to see, if you're going to market something as a specific product, let's see some functionality that, because to me, it's like, at that point, the only thing, let's take that hoodie, for example, mm-hmm. which I know we're nitpicking,
right?
Because it's just one of the, they just offer it in camo.
Yeah.
But let's say that's their main hunting hoodie.
Right.
Okay. At that point, and what is it, a $200 hoodie? $150?
No, it was 90.
Okay.
I think.
So let's say $100
yeah.
shipped, right?
Well, thanks, buddy.
Jared's getting everybody drinks. Oh, there you go.
Hell yeah.
Sounds good. No one.
Yeah. So let's say that hoodie's $100, right? At that point, the only thing driving somebody, because it would be comparable to like a Bottomland, right? It looks like a tree bark type of, you know, all-purpose
yeah.
type of camo.
Right, yeah.
The only thing that's driving somebody to buy the Origin hoodie over like a Carhartt hoodie in Bottomland is the fact that it's made in the U.S. You know, because not, I'm sure there are some of the Carhartt hoodies that are made in America, but most of them aren't.
Yeah.
Right? Most of them are imported. So that's the only thing they have going for them. If somebody's going to buy a hunting, they're like, well, why would I spend, just as a consumer, why would I spend $70 for something that's made in the U.S.
Right.
over something that's imported when it really doesn't affect me either way? Mm-mm. I don't see the difference in it.
No, there's not. And like right now, like the hunt stuff, they're definitely playing catch up.
Yeah.
And they didn't start there, so it's not a, you know.
What did they start with?
Jiu-jitsu gis.
Oh, okay.
They started there and what?
Nothing.
Yeah, they started there and then they started making everyday
clothes.
Do
you have a Origin jiu-jitsu gi? You
hell
do?
Yeah, hell yeah, dude.
Okay.
That's cool. You can do pull-ups on it.
Yeah, but you don't have any other gis to compare it to.
No, I don't. I have no idea.
Yeah.
It's probably not any better than any other one. I don't. I mean, they're all. I don't know. Maybe it is. I also don't have their nicest one because they have like four or five different.
You have their performance.
You know, from the movie Shanghai Nights, if it's made out of silk and you pee on it, you can bend prison bars open.
Really?
No, I doubt it, but it's in a movie. It was kind of cool.
Huh.
Like Jackie Chan.
Dude, I forgot about Jackie Chan. Is he still alive?
Jackie Chan and Owen Wilson.
Yeah.
Cowboy.
I don't know, honestly.
Chinaman.
Yeah. Do you, you have their performance t-shirt, right? From Oregon?
Yeah, I have a couple of them.
The black one?
Mm-hmm.
How does that compare to like a Nike or an Under Armour or something?
I like it. The only thing I don't like about those is the seams on the inside. You can feel them. Like when you put it on, it's like you can feel the seam.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Your tism showing.
It is a little bit. And it's just, it just kind of
like
bugs me.
Feels.
Which I don't like. I mean,
sensory overload.
I don't have a ton of that style of t-shirts.
Yeah. That's but, most performance gear, though.
Yeah, you feel it. But, like, I really like their shorts. I have those shorts that are, like, that nylon. You know those black pants that I have?
Yeah.
I have those in shorts as well.
I wear Oakley golf shorts.
Yeah.
They're
but
super
they,
comfortable.
I mean, you can get them. I've been wearing them as swim trunks.
Yeah, that's like, why.
They freaking
That's why I wear those Oakley shorts is because I could just jump in the water and they're dry 20 minutes later.
Yeah, it's crazy. But, And I have a couple pair of other shorts and stuff that I use for running and whatnot and just general stuff. But that's what I like. I like their everyday gear, like those Moab pants that I have, like the kind of, they're like those Carhartt. Those are super nice. They're stretchy and.
In your boots, you swear by the boots.
I love the boots. They definitely, like they say, they're like, oh, these boots, you don't even have to break them in. You got to break them in. They weren't super comfortable at first. But also I was going from my 20-year-old Red Wings that
are definitely broken.
Yeah, like for sure. And so they were just different.
Different style too, because the Red Wings are a very traditional logger style of boot compared to the Origin boot is, you know, it's a flat bottom, but it's a traditional toe shape. It's not like a mock toe shape.
Yeah.
And they've got like composite materials because there's like nylon mixed in with there's like a leather support to it, leather toe box,
yeah,
and leather ankle support, but then they have like nylon or Kevlar or
whatever. So mine are it's Cordura.
Okay.
Yeah, so mine are they're called like the hybrid or something, and up by the ankle or whatever it has Cordura, so it breathes better than
100%
leather.
Yeah.
And you know, working
it's a good
in,
idea,
yeah, and working sure. in the shop in the summertime and stuff, I want something that breathes better than all leather.
Definitely a fan of the flat bottoms because I've got
it makes a difference. I didn't think Obi said that, and he's like dude, you got to get this style, and I was like, really? Like, I don't, you know, and I changed to it and it made a difference.
I think it does because I bought those. I've got the, if you own a pair of Red Wing boots, you probably own my pair of Red Wing boots, right? The traditional logger style, made in the USA. Takes 3 months to break the fucking things in.
Mine are different. I don't know if you've ever seen mine, but mine are not like that.
Really?
They're more like my Origin boot than...
Interesting.
...than what yours are.
So my... I'm talking about the dark brown, not the Mach-Toe ones.
Okay. Yeah, I know.
So I also have a pair that are not made in the U.S. I think they're made in Vietnam that are Mach-Toe with the flat bottom. That was the first pair of Red Wings that I bought. And those are way better on concrete because they have a natural rubber sole.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it breaks down so quickly, too.
Yeah.
It's just natural rubber versus the logger boots are a urethane. That's like oil and slip resistant, you know, whatever. Those are super, super tough. And it's great if you're in, like if I'm on grass or gravel or dirt, anything that has a little bit of give to it, as soon as you're on asphalt, concrete, you want that flat bottom, 100%.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, going from working in the field all the time to working in the shop all the time, it makes a difference. So I'll probably end up buying another pair of Mach-Toe. My dad has always been a Red Wing guy. Then he bought a pair of Thorogoods. He really likes them. You know, obviously you have the Origin boots. Alan really likes the Thorogood boots.
Yeah.
So...
I've
I don't
had
know.
Red Wing and Thorogood. I will say my Red Wings
lasted a lot longer than Thoroughbreds.
Really?
And mine were not like the American Red Wing. Mine were the Red Wing, like, Irish Setter.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, I think they were maybe $200. They weren't that expensive. Yeah. And they've lasted me since 2020.
Wow.
That's pretty good.
Like, the only thing that I've had to do is put new laces on them. The toes are beat up.
You can get free laces.
The other thing...
Oh, really?
If you go to if you have a pair of Red Wings, you can go to a place like Leathers by David in Traverse. Or
well, they didn't give me a pre... I need laces, and I went in there, and I had to buy them.
Go to Jack's Sports Shop. They're a Red Wing dealer.
Yeah, I fucking hate that shop.
I will say, though,
I maintain my boots
very nicely. Like, I put a ton of mink oil on them frequently.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He oils his boots very
often. I use
often.
Saddle soap.
Saddle soap isn't a conditioner. It's just a cleaner.
Well, I use saddle soap, and then I use, like, Red Wing has a boot oil.
It's mink oil.
Is it?
Yeah, Red Wing. Red Wing boot oil is
mink oil. It darkens the fuck out of my
boots. Yeah, it does.
Yeah. Is it the... It comes in a little can?
No, mine's like a squirt bottle.
That's not mink oil, then.
It might be liquid mink oil.
It's not the good stuff.
No, I use the same stuff you do, the paste.
The can is like a
it looks
waxy,
like petroleum jelly.
Yeah, it looks like Vaseline, but
really?
A little thicker.
Yeah.
It still darkens it, though? Because that's what
yeah,
I...
Yeah,
like
that
my,
darkens
well,
the
you
fuck out of it.
Saw these. Did you ever see these when I first bought them?
Uh-huh.
You saw my boots
on
Friday.
Because I walked in. Remember when I walked in the shop and you guys were all asking me why I was wearing them in the shop?
Oh, those are those?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
See how dark they are?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn.
That's the mink oil.
It'll get them real dark.
Well, same thing with my boots. My boots look this color, too. Like my work boots. Yeah. And they were originally kind of reddish or tan.
Have you seen, you saw on my mock toes, if I pull up my pant leg, you've got two different colors, whatever.
I don't know if I've noticed.
The toe box and everything's a really light brown because they haven't been oiled in a while.
Yeah.
Because it's exposed to dust and usually concrete dust and, you know, dirt and whatever. But
same thing, you saw my Red Wing snowboard boots and how dark those are.
Yeah.
Those were originally a tan suede.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it mink oil, but it's the best. It'll help with waterproofing.
Mm-hmm.
It'll
well, that's the first time that I oiled those snowboard boots when they were suede. Like, you have to do it because you're out in snow and whatnot, right? The mink oil that I used was some, like, top shelf shit. It was not, like, Vaseline. It was thick,
like a lard?
No, it was thicker than that. It was, like, paste. It was, like, clay.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You have to heat it up?
You heat it up.
No, I didn't heat it up. I just use a washcloth instead of a brush because you can actually scoop it.
I do that all the time. It's actually... so.
That's what
if
I do with the saddle soap. I wet a washcloth just a little bit and kind of fucking rub it in there and then...
What I do is...
You can't wet it.
No?
It's oil. The mink oil.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, mink oil.
The saddle soap.
If I'm like going to actually oil my boots like I'm like both of them are due... I actually use an Ariat boot branded cleaner, but it's basically saddle soap.
Yeah.
Especially on the welts of cowboy boots, because they'll get real dirty. But I got like a little old toothbrush, scrub that down, clean the whole thing with saddle soap, let it dry completely. Like it has to be dry, otherwise it's just water. It's just going to, the oil just brush off of it.
Yeah.
Once it's dry, saturate the whole thing in mink oil, and then use a heat gun. And you heat it up until you watch the oil. It'll get really shiny, and then it'll go dull when the leather absorbs it. And I'll do that 2 times, and then I always use a rag and buff it out because I don't want the oil to stick to the boot.
Hmm.
Versus, like, if you use a brush and you don't use any heat to it, it'll get a little bit shinier, but that leather, it takes... more oil and a longer time for that oil to naturally soak that up.
Interesting.
So I use a heat. My dad used to put his boots in the oven at like 100 degrees.
Yeah.
150 degrees. You oil them, stick them in the oven, let it all soak into the leather, pull them out, oil them again, whatever. It's a process though. I mean, it takes an hour or two to really get into them, and that's why I don't do it all the time. But I also have a pair of cowboy boots that I, like my ostrich boots, I condition those. I use conditioner on cowboy boots as opposed to mink oil because it'll keep the leather softer and moisturized, but it doesn't change the color of it. You just have to do it more often.
Yeah. Well, that's what my saddle soap is. It's a saddle. It's, I don't remember what brand it is, but
it's a cleaner and conditioner. Okay.
I need to get a new one, though. It's all dried out and shitty.
So the one that, like, for my normal cowboy boots, I'll do it every so often, right? But
yeah,
with my, I have a pair of ostrich boots, which I like the look of them, but they're a pain in the ass, and it makes me nervous, so I condition them, like, every time I wear them, after every time I wear them. But I only wear them every probably 6 months, I don't know, you know, and just sitting in the house or something, if it gets dry, like, I don't. Because then it starts cracking and they look like garbage.
Really?
Exotic leather is a pain in the ass.
Huh.
So it's, but they look pretty sweet. So it's like, yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen them.
They're just brown, full quill, ostrich, whatever. You know, they're, I don't even remember what brand they are. They're not like a name brand. They're not like Lucchese or anything.
Yeah.
They're.
Speaking of which, found those Lucchese boots.
Yeah?
When I was down in Texas again.
Oh, the work boots?
Oh, yeah. I was talking to Brooke. She was like, they have work boots? I'm like, yeah, Nick was finding those. And
I might. They're $400. They're comparable to Red Wings. Like, why would, like, you not?
She's like, oh, he was like, they're ostrich. I'm like, yeah, he might actually buy them. And she's like, that's so dumb. And I'm like, I don't know. Like,
kinda, they're handmade.
It's kind of cool.
They're handmade in
and
the
they're
U.S.
they're not much more expensive.
And they're ostrich boots. They're ostrich leather, so it's super soft. There's not a huge break-in period because ostrich leather is really flexible, right?
Huh.
But then if you were to buy that equivalent boot in Red Wing, it's like $450 from Red Wing, or it's like $480 from Lucchese.
What?
So I might just try the Lucchese boots.
Then we were joking around about me buying them and showing up to work on Monday with them.
That would have been funny.
I'd be like, hey, Nick, look what I got.
I would have been so jealous, dude. I probably would have been like, I probably would have asked you 100 questions. Yeah. Are they comfortable? Do you like them? Yeah. Or is it worth it?
Well, and then Brooke was trying to get me. She's like, should we buy those cowboy boots? The ones I've been looking at, the ostrich ones.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
Are those Ariat's or Lucchese's? Which ones?
Lucchese's.
Okay.
Those are they were like $900.
There's $900?
And then
they're handmade, dude.
Well, no. And these are the square toe ones, right? Yeah. And then she goes and looks at a cutter toe, and she's like, look at these ones. And I'm like, I don't know how much I like the cutter, you know.
They're $600.
No. $1,500.
Damn.
Yeah.
Why is it so much more?
Those were more expensive than those snakeskin ones I found.
Yeah, why is the cutter toe so much more?
I don't know if it was a higher quality leather or what, or the top of the boot was higher quality or what. Yeah.
Oh, or it could have been, a lot of times they'll do like signature series boots.
Yeah.
Like Parker McCollum, I think it's Parker McCollum, has a deal with Lucchese. So his signature boots, it's only like a $600 boot, but they charge you like $850 because it's got his name on it. And he gets a little kickback or whatever.
Yeah, I didn't see anything on these that I was like, damn, that's a reason they should be more expensive. They just looked a little nicer.
But you know when we were in Fort Worth, they had Texas A&M like logo on the uppers of one of the pair of boots?
Mm-hmm.
That's a hand-tooled A&M logo on the upper of a boot.
Yeah.
Like, it's cool as fuck, dude. Every pair of their boots are handmade.
Huh.
That's why they're so expensive.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say I just don't see the value in that. I mean, it's cool.
That's fine.
It's cool. It's just not my thing.
Yeah, but when you're walking around rocking a pair of Lucchese's and...
It's like a heritage thing, too. It's just kind of like a traditional type of... It'd be like you walking around with a Filson Mackinaw wool jacket on. Like, you just know. You're like, I definitely way overpaid for what this thing really is, but I'm paying for the quality of the craftsmanship behind this. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get it. I mean, I yeah.
And they're made in the U.S.
I get it. That's just not my thing.
Yeah.
I just don't.
Yeah.
And then she wanted to go in the King Ranch store and buy a bunch of shit. And
yeah.
Yeah.
King Ranch store was fucking cool.
I showed her the pistol case, and she's like, how much is it?
$150.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's like, you should just buy it. No. She's simmer down.
She's a terrible influence, huh?
Yeah, same thing. I was like, well, how about that decanter and those whiskey glasses? Yeah. She's like, that probably costs more than those boots.
Yeah, it's all crystal. That's why.
Yeah.
It's like crystal decanter sets, like $600.
Yeah, crystal with laser engraving on it. Yeah.
That's cool.
There's nothing special about it. It just has the King Ranch logo on it. Yeah. I mean, it's crystal decanter, sure, but you can get a crystal decanter.
But it comes with leather coasters.
Oh,
yeah, that's cool.
I want their duffel bag. Their
duffel bag was cool.
Nice.
Can you imagine if I bought that?
No, I think you'd get slain. Brooke would probably stab you.
Probably. Yeah.
It's cool, though. It's really... There's some about leather products.
Like, leather's just cool.
I love leather.
I've been this close to going back to a leather wallet so many times.
Oh, that's why I bought this one.
I have the Ridge wallet right now. Oh. Did you buy a new wallet?
Yeah, I got it with the duffel bag that I have. I bought them at the same time.
I thought you got a new one on this trip.
No. I was looking at the King Ranch wallets.
I make my own leather wallets, though. So that's why it's like, I don't know. I
love my leather
wallet. But I found a pattern that's similar to your Lost Dutchman.
Yeah.
The problem is I have to buy like a quality leather. You know, I can't just use veg tan for everything.
I have an elk hide. I think it's an elk hide.
Really?
If you want it. Might not be an elk. Might be a mule deer. It's different. It's not a deer.
It doesn't matter.
It's not a garbage whitetail. I have a garbage bag full of leather shit.
We're going to make...
I was going to put it in my garage sale, but you can...
If you are listening to this podcast, I want you to know right now, we're going to start up the Knox of Nature YouTube channel. And we're going to start making some videos on there. And one of the video ideas that I have had was making traditional archery shooting tabs. Because I've already made two of them, and I still have the templates from each of them. And I think it's really cool. Super simple, basic-ass tools. You could probably do it for like $30. And you can buy tabs for cheap, but it's way cooler to make your own.
Yeah.
Really,
it's all part of the trad archery vibe.
Yeah, really all you need for it is you just need to buy the leather and you need like stitching materials.
Yeah. she's not going to sleep tonight.
No, she's upset.
No, she'll sleep tonight. She's fine. I gave up on camel training. She's a bed princess now.
Oh.
And she sleeps all through the night.
Really?
Yeah, she just got some separation anxiety. Oh. She's a bit of a problem.
She doesn't wake up to pee in the middle of the night anymore?
Nope, she's fine. As long as she sleeps on the bed.
How long did that take you to give up?
Brooke's last night here, she was like, can we please let her sleep in the bed? I was like, fine, yeah, whatever. And she didn't have to wake up once. And then,
you want to know what's funny about that?
And then I was like, well, you know, it's probably a fluke because she slept all through the night a couple times when I was still sleeping on the couch down here with her.
Yeah.
And then... all of a sudden, she did that for like three nights, and then the fourth night, she was up five times. And I was like, all right, so that's a fluke. And then her parents were watching the dog when I was driving her down there, and they let her sleep on the bed the whole time, never had any problems, never woke up, nothing. I'm like, all right, she's just a bed princess now.
You want to know what's funny about that? The last time I stayed here, I took her out once at like 3:30 in the morning. And then brought her in 25 minutes later. She was whining again. I let her out of the kennel, picked her up. After I took her outside, just picked her up, set her on the bed, and she slept with me on the bed until like 8:30 when we woke up.
Yeah. I think she just likes being next to people.
Yeah. But that's funny
she's
you say
terrible
that
at crate training.
I was like, oh, okay. Here we go. Hell yeah. So we do have some news. I'm not sure how much we're going to talk about this, but
yeah,
Jared,
so
you want to take it from here.
The reason that I've been in Texas so much, Brooke is stationed in the Army, she's in the Army. She's stationed down in Killeen, Texas. So I'm going to be moving down there beginning of May.
Brooke is Jared's fiance, for reference.
Yeah, and we will we'll be trying to do like remote or. Maybe Zoom, worst case scenario. We don't really want to have Zoom quality on the podcast, but
I'm going to do some research.
We're going to try to make things work.
If you have ever seen clips from the New Heights podcast, Those guys, the Kelsey brothers, do a podcast together, and they're never, very rarely are they together when they record it, but it sounds like they're all in the same room. So I'm going to try to figure something out. I'm sure there's somebody out there who has done it.
Or go send us a message on Instagram if you guys hate it when I'm talking in the microphone, you know. Let us know.
Knox of Nature underscore podcast on Instagram if you want to vote Jared off the island.
Please don't.
It's okay. We won't listen to him anyway.
Yeah.
That's why we continually talk about Bose, and even though most people probably don't care.
Yeah. It's whatever.
Dude, everyone cares about Bose.
Everybody cares about Bose.
Everyone loves archery as much as we do.
As much as we do, yeah. We're not delusional at all.
They also love when we just talk about leather or motorcycles or cars randomly.
There's a reason why we include whatever else we feel like talking about in the intro. We will talk about whatever we want to.
Yeah, we did just talk about boots for a solid...
Yeah, probably 20 minutes worth of just work boots. But there are guys out there who are diehard crispy boot guys, and I've never bought a pair, probably never will.
I feel like my dad has
the
some Crispies.
The fuck is crispy boot?
You've never heard of Crispies?
No.
It's like an out west
one of the most popular like hiking slash hunting boots.
My dad has Kennetrex.
Yeah, I have Kennetrex Gaiters.
I feel like...
So they're not like work boots?
No, they're hiking boots.
They're like hiking boots.
Like really bulky, durable...
Like stiff mountain boot.
Good support. But I like Salmons too much. Yeah. So
my dad has, maybe he has Crispies, but they have a freaking steel rod.
What?
Yeah, it's
like a full. He's got an ankle brace on.
It's inner and outer has like these, and they might be composite.
It's not flexible at all. That sucks, dude.
Fucking the boot's like 12 pounds. It's crazy.
What?
Yeah, it's so
the fuck. He's wearing cinder blocks on his feet.
That's what he wore when we went to Isle Royale. And I shit you not, we one of the days it was raining or whatever, and he got a bunch of water in his boot, and he's like, dude, my feet are wet. And I'm like, yeah, like mine are wet too, but like I think it's just sweat. Like it's not bad. And we got to the place where we were camping.
He poured out water.
He poured out, I mean, fucking half a Nalgene.
God,
it was crazy. Like he's like, yeah, check this out. And he pours it out. I'm like, God, really? Like, what the fuck? It was insane, dude. But the boot is, I mean, if you want support, there's nothing like it. And that's what, like, his ankles are bad and stuff. Like, he likes a lot of support. So it's, he loves it. He loves those boots. But
whatever, I guess.
Not for me.
Not for me either. No thanks.
But they're waterproof. But if water gets in there, water's not getting out.
Yeah. So I guess just to finish our thought there with Jared, Jared will be leaving the state. We'll be moving the studio, but so we won't have that furnace noise in the background. We'll probably try to dial things in a little bit. Yeah. Maybe we'll hang some sound panels or something. Get it, you know, real quiet.
Might have the fireplace.
Maybe. That'd be cool.
That'd be sweet.
But he doesn't have intentions on leaving the podcast. Give us a little bit of a grace period. We might not have it completely figured out. There might be an episode or two that ends up being just Justin and I, or we do the episode but we just have Jared, you know, on a Zoom call or FaceTime or something. It might not be perfect.
It'll just be on speakerphone.
Yeah. But we'll figure something out. We'll try to make it better than just, you know, try not to sound like total amateurs. We'll figure something out. The one program I have in mind, I think, is audio and visual, which I don't know that we really want to do that. Maybe. Might be fun, but we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Might be fun.
So, yeah, I mean, that. I think that kind of covers that for the most part. Should be cool. It's exciting. I'm kind of sucks that you're moving away, but gives me an excuse to go to Texas, so.
I'm kind of excited about having a friend in Texas.
Yeah.
I've never been to Texas.
Texas is so much fun.
We're going to do a Texas whitetail hunt. That's what we're going to do.
I was a little bit worried, but like...
There's no public land in Texas.
The cities that were close... At first I was like, clean, that's bad, you know, whatever.
Yeah. And then I was looking at, it's kind of like centrally located between a bunch of different cities. You know, there's Waco, Austin, San Antonio, Fort Worth, Dallas, College Station, Houston. They're all kind of...
Yeah, even Houston's like 4 hours.
Yeah,
it's not even that bad.
It's a day drive to go to those places.
Yeah.
Like Fort Worth, San Antonio, those are both only 2 hours away. Waco and Austin are only an hour away. And I was looking at those cities, you know, we're talking to some Brooke's friends that she has down there. She's got family. And they're like, oh, yeah, there's not that much to do in those towns, whatever. Austin's the capital of Texas. There's plenty to do.
Yeah.
The other thing is Waco had, you know, like go-karts and Top Golf and all this stuff that we don't really have around here.
Yeah, Houston has like a trampoline park, a bunch of nightclubs, a Top Golf.
Oh, yeah, there was like indoor skydiving.
Yeah, there's a...
Wait, what?
Dude, Houston
is... Yeah, the big tunnels.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It was like indoor skydiving where you go like 20
feet.
Smack.
Woo!
No, some of those bigger... I mean, granted, there's shit like that in Grand Rapids and Detroit, you know, like...
Yeah.
There's shit like that in Michigan, but... Dude, I was at Top Golf in Houston. It wasn't like Houston proper. I don't know. Remember honestly exactly which town we were in, but the Houston area, we went to Top Golf. And it was August. It was like 115 degrees.
Dude, fuck that.
Yeah, it was like 9:30 at night. The sun's going down, and I was sweating my ass off. But it was such a cool view. I was hitting golf balls. You know, it was just like, didn't have to work, none of that. It was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. I need to get back out west, though. I want to go visit my grandpa in New Mexico.
I've never been out west. I've been to Wisconsin, and I've been to Florida. Those are the two spots.
What, those are the only two states you've been to?
I've been to like Indiana and Ohio and shit, but that's about it.
Wow. You got to travel so much more.
Dude, I haven't traveled hardly at all.
You're going with me on a mule deer hunt. You're going to just
go with both of us on
out.
A backpacking trip or something. Yeah, or that. Or just an out west car camp.
No. If we go backpacking, we're going backpacking. I don't want to do the car camping stuff.
Car camping's fun because you get to see way more in a shorter amount. Like, you can have a very limited amount of time and cram so much into it.
Really? Maybe.
Dude, we went to 14 states in 5 days car camping.
I would say the more impressive was the 2 week trip that I like to talk about. Like, 2 weeks traveled most of the West.
Really? Yeah.
The only part I didn't see on those 2 weeks was New Mexico and Arizona.
It's gonna be a little bit before.
And I covered that on our trip.
Yeah, we didn't spend a whole lot of time. We spent more time in Arizona.
Well, yeah, I didn't spend time in fucking Nebraska. Who wants to be out there? But still went through.
I'll go deer hunt in Nebraska.
Well, yeah, hunting. I mean, like,
yeah, there's no tourist attractions. Yeah.
It's gonna be a couple years. Next year we're going to Disney, so I gotta save for that, and it's gonna be fucking expensive.
Gross.
Yeah, you know, it's what you got to do with kids. So, you know.
Take them to Cedar Point. It's way closer.
It's not the same as Disney.
We're going to Disney and Universal. And
Whoa.
It's also next May, so I have to try to be like, Alan, please.
You'll figure it out.
Let me take a week off.
You'll be all right.
Yeah.
You know, make your kids appreciate things in life. Just take them to Great Wolf Lodge once a year.
Yeah, we do that too, but
he goes like four times a year.
I was kidding. Yeah.
Great Wolf Lodge is expensive.
I remember growing up, it was fun going to Great Wolf Lodge.
Oh, yeah. I remember.
My favorite was
they never had the Magic Kingdom shit or the Magic whatever it is.
Magic Quest?
They never had that
dude,
when I was growing up.
You go back as an adult, it kind of sucks.
Dude, yeah. No, I
but
just
like,
found
kid,
out about that last night.
You never did it?
No. Grace was telling me about it, and I'm like,
I never got to.
She's
do
like,
that.
I still.
What?
Have, she's like, I still have my wand. I want to try everything out. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking
dude,
about?
It's
she's
fun.
Like, you go slay dragons and shit. I'm like,
when
what?
when you're a kid,
I never did that.
It's not as fun as an adult. I went back and did.
Did
it
you do it as a kid?
Oh yeah,
they had that stuff.
Yeah.
Then?
Oh yeah.
Okay, so we just couldn't afford that.
Yeah.
That's where she goes. We did get the nice room that came with an Xbox, though.
Really.
Oh, hell
it
yeah.
It came with an Xbox?
Yeah, the room had like... Oh. It was
no, you
the
didn't
bunk
get an Xbox.
No.
You got to play
yeah,
it.
I know.
It was like the bunk bed suite that had the kid
room, yeah, like separate area for the kids with
the wolf's den.
Bunk. Yeah, it was cool, and it had for had a little TV and freaking Xbox.
Really?
There.
We
yeah.
You know what? I went to your Avalanche parents Bay. Were just like, it we're gonna get this. Lodge. The kids are gonna fuck off, and we're gonna do our own thing.
Yeah, yeah, dude.
Let's go to the spa.
Yeah, they have a bar there at the Grove
Lodge. At the Grove Lodge.
Yeah,
you guys want to go to Grey Wolf Lodge?
Sure.
Go get turnt in the hot tubs.
Well, you can't drink in the hot tubs.
See, that's the thing. They don't have any swim-up bars around here.
No, they do. Yeah, not around here. I went to Frankenmuth. They have oh. They have them in Frankenmuth.
Yeah, on the Lazy River.
Mm-hmm.
At, what's that place called?
I bet they got them in Texas.
Bavarian Inn or whatever the hell it is.
No, the lodge is called something else. It's like the Leapfrog Splash Zone or something like that. Yeah. Splash Town.
I also did, in high school, or no, middle school, we did Soaring Eagle Water Park. I have to say, Great Wolf Lodge is a lot better.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to Avalanche
the
Bay?
The only thing that Great Wolf
Avalanche
Lodge
Bay's way cooler
have,
than Avalanche, Great Wolf Lodge.
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
The only thing Great Wolf Lodge doesn't have was the surfing thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Avalanche Bay does.
Yeah. You know what the best water park is, though? Like, indoor water park? We went down during COVID. We went down to Ohio because Michigan's water parks were all closed.
Yeah.
We went down to Ohio. I think it was Kalahari or something. It's like an African-themed water park. Hmm. And it's like five times as big as the Great Wolf Lodge.
Never been.
It's fucking crazy.
Never been.
It's crazy.
I don't know if I would enjoy those places as an adult.
Cedar
though.
Point is fun no matter how old you are.
Oh, I love Cedar Point.
I've never been to Cedar Point. So,
really?
You know. It's the
I've been to Michigan Adventure.
So freaking sweet.
I went
it's
to
like
Michigan
Adventure.
Like, you go to the really scary roller coasters there, they have like they're the ones that have the nicest equipment on them, and it feels like you're just floating.
It's so fun.
It's so fun.
We used to go during
I went
like
to
Halloween time.
Michigan Adventure. They had one that was like Shiver Me Timber. It was the old
yeah,
wood
I've
one.
Heard about that
yeah.
one.
That one was sketchy.
Dude, I fucking hate the wood ones.
You know yeah. Mean Streak.
Fuck wham.
You know Mean Streak shit. At Sear Point.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know they tore it down.
Mm-hmm.
I got to go on it. Like, I think it was a year or two before they tore it down.
Really? Yeah.
And it fucked my back.
Oh, yeah. No, the wooden roller coasters
like,
are no joke.
I could barely walk after it got off. I was like, dude, I think it broke my spine.
You just slammed around.
And we went, and we're like, dude, that was cool. Let's do it two more times.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, the other thing, we were cracking up because, like, the lap bar ain't doing shit because I'm skinny. Like, I
yeah.
could fly
yeah.
right out of that
oh,
thing.
Yeah.
We were having a good time.
Yeah, it's fun. It's bad when you go. Like, I used to do that with all the fair rides. All my friends were way bigger than me. Mm-hmm. So we'd be three deep in the, you know, thing. Everyone puts the bar down. I got 2 feet between me and the bar. It's like,
yeah.
Dude, that was the first time I ever rode the zipper. I was just, like, I was just old enough to where I could be at the height limit. Like the short, I was yeah. legit like 8 years old.
Right. I've never rode the zipper. Fuck that thing.
I've not
my
either.
Sister, for reference, my sister's 4 years older than me. Okay. We get into the zipper and she's like, come on, like, let's do it. It's going to be fun, whatever. She's probably 12 or 13. We go on to this thing. We get it all clipped in, whatever. We're all secured. The fucking door is connected to your lap bar and our door didn't lock. So I'm upside down doing backflips and shit, and this door's rattling back. And it's just G-force and sheer fucking will for my sister and I holding this door shut, like pushing our feet against the floor because it's got a little lip on the cage, holding this door shut.
Hell yeah, man. That's what makes
oh my God.
So much fun.
I have not been on the zipper
sketchiness.
Since. I have not been on the zipper since.
We almost went on last summer, remember? But then it broke down.
Yeah, that would have been the first time I was on the zipper since that ride.
I went to the fair.
That was that wasn't at the fair. That was at Cherry Festival.
Fair, yeah, same fucking thing.
I went to the fair up
no,
in...
No, Cherry Festival is a shit show. The fair has a rodeo. It's cooler.
Yeah, okay. The fair doesn't have a rodeo. Demolition Derby.
We've still never been to a rodeo together.
Nope.
I mean, PBR showcase, but...
Yeah, we did showcase. I tried to convince Brooke to go to that because we were there Thursday night.
She want to go?
No. She's like, it's a showcase. It's not the real thing.
Fucking hoity-toity FFA bitches. Jeez.
Yeah.
She's like, I've seen enough of that. Whatever. Yeah, that was cool as fuck, dude. I enjoyed it.
That was cool to get fireworks and shit.
And beer. You got free koozie.
Yeah.
How did you get a free koozie drinking beer? They said free koozie if you make it a double.
Yeah, and I said, hey, like, I'll get a double if I need to, but I'd prefer to drink beer. And they go, you can get a koozie if you dance.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Justin got a free koozie, too. I tried telling you that. I think you were already drunk at that point, though.
I was pretty drunk.
And the girls yelled at me. They're like, hey, don't tell him that. I'm like, he's part of my group.
Well, we'd been drinking like 2 hours before we got there. And Future was the only one driving, and he doesn't drink. So we were all feeling pretty good.
Yeah.
Because we went to the brewery. So.
That's kind of creepy.
Dog's staring Justin down.
A little bit, but she's sleeping.
That's funny.
It's creepy as fuck.
Yeah. It's kind of creepy.
All right, I'm going to head out.
So one, this is a little bit random, but one more conversation topic. Worldwide Trophy Adventures. I know we were talking about this a little bit before, but I want to get everybody's opinion on this.
Speaking of expensive vacations.
Exactly. Worldwide Trophy Adventures is now offering financed hunts as opposed to paying for everything up front. So we talked about that a little bit. Me personally, I think if you're going to pay in installments before your hunt, you could just be disciplined to like set that money aside each time you would have made a payment to be able to pay for the hunt up front and just do it, you know, 3 months, 6 months prior to actually booking as opposed to doing it right up to when you leave for your hunt. But what do you think about paying for a hunt in payments, especially after the hunt has already happened and you're still paying for it?
Here's my thing and my take on that. It's like, if you're going to finance something, you were going to make those payments. Why not just a few months ahead start saving up the money?
Exactly. Right?
Just like you just said, the only scenario where I see that being useful is where somebody's message you and they're like, hey, we got like 10 guys together. We need like 6 more. Will you be one of them? We're going out in a month and you just don't have the time to save up the money.
Yeah, I mean, that also...
That's
but
the
if
only
you go,
type of scenario that I can see that like actually being reasonable, because otherwise, save the money up or
it depends
you,
on
you
the
don't
hunt,
have
though.
The money and you're not going to have the money.
No, it depends on the hunt, though, because you could finance a $50,000 Yukon moose hunt. You know, for example, let's say you're financing...
Right, but
nobody's going
like,
to have
if you can't afford it right now, you're not going to be able to afford it then, and the payments are going to take so long that you're going to pay way more.
Yeah.
Than if you had just saved up for it and paid those payments. Because, like I said, you're going to make those payments and you're going to pay way more. Just save up for it.
Would you save 50 grand towards a Yukon moose hunt?
No, because I don't care that much to do it. Like, yeah, it'd be really cool and I want to do it, but
I wouldn't do moose. I would do grizzly bear.
You do Kodiak brown bear?
Like a Kodiak brown bear or something. But I'm not going to save 25 grand.
You know what scares the shit out of me? Imagine spending, let's say 30 grand. Imagine spending 30 grand.
Man,
all this time, you got to take 2 weeks off work minimum.
Yeah, I know where you're going with it.
You buy all this extra gear because you got to have proper, you know, equipment to go live in the mountains for 2 weeks. You go all the way out there. You hunt moose for 10 days straight. You don't fucking harvest and you just spent 30 grand. How devastated would you be?
I wouldn't be that devastated. I mean, it's the experience, right?
Like, yeah, it's part of it, but if I'm spending
pissed.
30 grand,
I'd be fucking pissed.
Yeah.
30 grand's a lot of money.
30 grand's
to
a lot
not.
Of money. You could buy a brand new Toyota Corolla. You could buy two of them, maybe.
To not
now,
bring home.
Dude, have you seen the price? Let's not get sidetracked here. But yeah, to not harvest? Fuck that. Yeah.
It would be a bummer. It would suck.
I'd still do it, but fuck that.
Dude, it happens. You're hunting. Like, it happens.
Yeah.
That's the chance you're taking.
You will get in with a good guy, you put in as many miles as you can. I would push myself so, like, I would do 35, right. 40 miles a day if I
you
had
hunt
to.
Hard. Well, the thing with moose is you're not doing that. You're just waiting. You're calling, and you're waiting.
But that's the problem with elk, though, is you have to, like, jog to keep up with them because their stride is so long.
Yeah.
It's like trying to keep up with a horse on a trot. you have to basically run after them. If you're trying to get on a stalk and they're walking away, you're fucked. Kodiak, though, would be... Now, let me ask you this, Justin. Once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. You have one opportunity to go to Kodiak and hunt a brown bear. What are you taking?
What am I taking?
What are you taking?
Brown bear or grizzly bear?
Kodiak brown bear. Grizzly bear, but from Kodiak. Much bigger on average.
Brown bears and grizzly bears are the same thing. It's just where they live.
I'm kind of retarded. So.
Yeah, no, it's fine. I didn't know this until I learned it. So,
Kodiak brown bear is a grizzly bear, but because of their location, they're like on average, you know, 40. Yeah.
Brown bears are usually bigger.
I do have a cool story.
Okay.
To go along with that.
So,
Justin, go ahead.
What am I taking?
Weapon-wise. Once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to go hunt a Kodiak brown bear, what are you taking? I'll tell you right now, I'd rather not harvest than take a rifle. I'm going with my bow.
I struggle with that because I like shooting. Like, I like rifles, too. So
I'm not going to judge you.
It would be hard to not take a rifle.
Because you feel like it's more of a guarantee that you'll shoot something.
Yeah, I mean, way better odds.
100%.
Right? I mean, if I...
You got to get to within 40 yards if you're using a bow.
If I...
Usually.
I wouldn't use my compound. It would be either my...
Whoa.
It would either be my 45-70, my Marlin.
Or a trad bow.
Or a longbow.
You're going to shoot a grizzly at 12 yards?
Dude, lifelong dream. That's... I don't have many dreams. My one dream is longbow.
So I want to shoot a black bear with my recurve. Right? 100% down for that.
Yeah.
Kodiak? I don't want to get that close to the fucker.
It'd be something different, right?
Yeah, that's adrenaline rush from hell, buddy.
That's.
I want to shoot one at like 30 or 40 with a compound.
That dude, remember that, like the guy that I had sign my arrow or whatever, Monty Browning?
Monty Browning, yeah.
He does that. Like he's got, I don't know, a couple of them.
Sub 20 yards?
Dude, oh man.
That's so close.
How's that not
so
like
crazy.
A problem with them charging you?
It is.
No, they will.
Yeah,
that's why
the
guide's going to dump two rounds into him after you put an arrow in it.
Yeah, like that's...
But they don't. They like if you...
If you have a good guide,
that's his
they
thing.
Won't.
If,
but,
yeah, and that's, if what, you go that's solo. What he says. He says he has to go to the guide and say, hey...
Run, motherfucker, run.
Yeah, and he's had his close calls and whatever. Like, this dude's a fucking stud. Like, he's awesome.
That is so sketchy.
It would be super sketchy, but can you imagine that? Can you imagine the adrenaline? Like, oh, it's just got to be fucking crazy.
I can't. Look, I've had the adrenaline rush from having a deer at 7 yards.
You know, I think I get enough adrenaline when I go sideways on the road. Like, oh, I'll just.
I don't know.
I'll deal with that.
Yeah.
There's something about.
That's plenty.
There's something about looking at an animal. Like, the idea of just looking at an animal in the eye and knowing, like, I'm going to kill you, but you also want to kill me. Best of luck.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, with a deer...
Here's a 700
grain
arrow.
It's like, you shoot a deer with a longbow...
It's not going to kill you.
It's not going to kill you, but it's like, you beat it. Like, you got that. Like, it's... You hunted, you're good.
But that's the... That's you know what I mean? Appeal to predator hunting, is that you bested the apex predator.
Right. With a grizzly bear, it's like, that thing wants to kill you.
I'm going to tell you this right now. If you shot a Kodiak brown bear with your longbow and successfully harvested it, there is not another predator on this planet short of maybe a great white shark. Like, that's the apex predator. Polar bear. I guess a polar bear.
Polar bear hunting is weird, though.
Yeah, dude,
have you heard about
polar
bear
hunting?
No, have you heard about
depends
it? It's
on,
not.
Depends
no.
on which
it's
type of polar
you,
bear
it's
hunting.
It's not what you think it is.
Hold on.
It's,
what type of polar bear hunting are you talking about? With dogs or no dogs?
Dogs.
Okay.
No dogs.
No dogs is the sketchy one.
Can you do no dogs? Is, yeah. Is it even feasible?
No dogs is where you walk the polar bear's path, you wait for him to catch your scent, and then you walk backwards, and you catch him hunting you.
Yeah, fuck that.
That's the sketchy part.
Yeah.
And
I don't agree.
They will fucking hunt you.
Dogs? No way. Because all they do is run the bear to exhaustion. Somebody walks up to 30 yards and puts an arrow in it.
No, that's not.
That's how it works.
Yeah, it might be. But the ones that I've heard of, like, you go find a polar bear, whatever, you run up to it with a dog sled. But the dogs kind of distract the bear, and you kind of sneak up on it while it's distracted.
Okay, you can, yeah, you have the dog circle it, and you arrow it while it's distracted.
The ones that I've heard about, they just have the dogs there, and you get off the dog sled, and you kind of circle and whatever, and the bear's looking at the dogs. Yeah, yeah.
I've seen videos of dogs run a bear to exhaustion.
Really?
To the bear, where the bear's laying down, and the dude walks up to like 25 yards, puts an arrow in it.
Yeah, fuck that.
That's unethical as fuck. A hippo,
it's not hunting.
Maybe a hippo. Cape buffalo's just gonna trample you. A lion, I guess a lion would probably fuck you up. But you get to that point.
That Monty Browning guy got a rhino.
I wouldn't be as afraid of a rhino as I would be of a lion.
Really?
Yeah, because I could just a lion's agile. Rhino's not agile. I could circle a tree for 3 hours with a rhino.
Rhino's going to fuck you up.
I could circle a tree for 3 hours. The rhino's not going to be agile enough to turn a corner sharp enough and hit me.
I'm telling you right now that rhino's killing you.
Yeah, I would. You're trying to run around a tree? Like, you're getting fucked up.
I don't think so. That's what they tell you with hippos and, well, 3 hours.
Let me see you run for 3 hours, Nick.
But that's what they tell you with hippos and alligators. Is like they technically can run fast, but they can run fast in a straight line.
Right.
So if you just zig and zag, you're fine. A lion's going to fuck you up regardless.
That's like some shit you see on YouTube. All you got to do is you got to zig and you got to zag. You'll be fine. Trust me.
Yeah, didn't Phil tell us not to zigzag with an alligator?
I'm pretty sure he said the exact opposite.
No, he
like
said
you just they can't turn. No. So
he said
out of the way.
He said people who zigzag die because there's always that myth of you zigzag. But he was saying you take one sharp turn.
Yeah, you don't run in a Z in a straight line away from the thing.
you take one sharp turn immediately once it charges you, and then you just stick with that direction and keep running.
And then if it starts gaining on you, you just take another sharp turn and go the other way. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not.
Yeah, but what if
that's
you're
not in, really zigzag, then.
Yeah,
like,
I'm not
like,
worried
like,
about.
What if you're in a swamp? Like, you can't.
Dude, I'm not worried about outrunning an alligator. I promise you. I could. Even me, in my peak physical form as of now, I could outrun an alligator.
Have you seen. Well, I don't think.
We should test this.
I don't think you have to outrun them. Like, that's not the dangerous part of an alligator. Like, they're going to surprise you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
probably.
It's not like you're in a
I don't think so.
Fucking Mexican
I've seen
sand
Phil showed
video.
Us,
I've
Phil
seen
showed us videos of him running over the tail with a bike to get him off the road. Like,
is that why
they
that
just
shop's
don't move.
Not finished? You guys
yeah.
I've seen meth heads in Florida.
Phil, I'm
beat
calling
him.
You out right now.
I've seen meth heads in Florida beat him in the head with a shovel. I'll be fine.
Have you seen how they bow hunt him?
No. It's out like, of a boat?
Yeah. It's like bow fishing, but they arrow the alligator. It's like a big thing for like the trad bow guys sometimes.
How do you get through the skin?
What? Hear me out.
You harpoon it?
You shoot it with a big fish arrow, you know.
Yeah, so you
kind of
harpoon
thing.
It basically.
You harpoon it, you reel it up to the boat, and then you shoot it with a gun.
That's not bow hunting.
It's fucking dumb.
That's not bow hunting.
It's not. You're like, oh yeah, I killed an alligator with my bow. It's like, no, you didn't.
No, you fucking didn't. You shot it with a Glock 19.
Yeah. Not a Glock 19, but. Maybe you could. I don't know.
You could kill an alligator with a 9mm at point blank range.
Really? You think
yeah,
so?
100%. Their skull's not that. It would be the right angle.
Like, freaking 22s and.
Yeah.
Like,
maybe.
Don't they use a 22 mag on the swamp
people? You can use a small caliber. You just have to get it
hit
further
it in the right
back
spot.
Because it'll ricochet because it's so hard.
Yeah,
up
that's,
front.
They always talk about in the show. You got to aim for this tiny little spot, and they use a pretty small gun.
Really.
Yeah, I'm pretty
sure. You can
sure.
kill a deer with a 22 mag.
I'm pretty
oh,
sure.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Kill a deer with a 22 long rifle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
my pellet gun says it'll kill a deer.
It says that?
Yeah.
No, it's a 17 caliber. If you shot it in the brain, you probably could kill it.
Where does it?
It also
says that,
says
on, the, it says it that
also,
on the box?
Yeah. Not like, hey, you should go hunting with this.
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck?
It also says that it's lethal to a human up to like 170 yards.
170?
If you hit
or 170 feet.
What is 170 feet? 50 yards-ish?
Yeah, I don't know.
If you hit a human in the head with your pellet gun, you'd kill him. This thing's supersonic.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a 17 caliber bullet. What are the, what is it?
Super.
Supersonic.
Are those, but it's like 8 grains. It's like 7.9 grains or something like that. Oh, really? Super light.
Oh.
Hold on, I'll go look at them.
Here's, yeah, the pellets are right behind you on the table.
I'm not getting out of this chair.
Jared, will you go grab them?
Actually, that was...
When the pellets don't mean shit, so I can say on the pellet thing.
The pellet has a weight to it, dummy.
Oh, you're talking about the weight, not the... Okay.
What's the two brands? There's Gamo and what's the other one?
Benjamin Air?
No.
Crossman?
Yeah, Crossman. That was my Crossman. That was lethal up to 170. And that was only 1,400 feet per
second.
That
gun has a supersonic crack to it when you shoot the pellet.
That one's even higher. That one's like 1,650, isn't it?
Yeah, that one's loud as fuck.
That has a supersonic crack to it.
Mm-hmm. It's fucking sweet.
But it's because the pellets weigh fucking 8 grains.
Really?
I think they're 7.8.
That's why, like, I got those subsonic 22s.
There's also subsonic 22 shorts right next to them.
They're quieter than that pellet gun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because the 22 is not going to have a crack to it.
Mm-hmm. That's what I shoot in my backyard for chipmunks.
You should listen to a 22 short subsonic in a suppressed 22.
It would sound like nothing.
The action is the loudest part. It's,
yeah.
Click.
That's why you get a bolt action.
Did you hear?
That's what it was.
Were you there when Phil?
You heard the firing pin. That was the loudest part.
Mm-hmm.
No, I was not.
Oh, this was kind of cool. Phil got out, what was it, 308, 300 blackout?
300 blackout, I believe.
That was not silenced, suppressed. It was cool.
Yeah.
You could barely hear it.
I want to get one for my...
You could barely hear it. It was sweet. He shot it in the shop, like, that still, it had steel on two walls, and he shot it out the back wall into a dirt pile, and you still could barely hear it. It was a little bit louder from the echo of the steel.
Really?
But then he went and stood outside and shot it in the dirt pile, and you could barely hear it.
Wow.
It was cool.
I just went and looked. For reference, those pellets are 7.56 grains, so they're maybe half a gram.
That is very light.
Super light. So you're not killing anything substantial. Now, the 22 caliber pellet guns that also shoot 1,300 feet per second.
Yeah.
And those are, you know, I mean, what is a 20? What's a 22? 50 grains? Something like that?
Usually like 36.
Don't they make 55 grain 223?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 223.
But 22 long rifles.
22
long rifles.
Like usually like 40, 36, somewhere in that ballpark.
Well, it's 17 HMR.
Probably 10 grains, which is...
Yeah, I don't remember.
Are those polymer? Or are those all lead?
Those pellets? The pellets? I think they're lead.
Okay. Because they make some polymer ones that are even lighter.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, pellet guns are fun, especially for squirrels and shit.
So 17.
Chipmunks.
Yeah. 17 is about 17 grains.
So those are light, even for a 17 caliber.
Yeah. That's like CCI VMAX.
A 4.5 millimeter, actually.
Yeah, I think that's why you use CCI VMAX. Oh, that, or there might be a Winchester or Hornady.
I use CCI. I think it is VMAX on my 22 mag.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maxi mag?
Maxi mag. That's what it is, yeah.
That's what it is.
You can get a 22,
those are sweet. 2,100 feet per second.
Mm-hmm.
Bang.
Yeah. The 22 mag is a cool caliber.
And it gets that heritage to pop. It gets just a little bit of kick to it. It's so much fun to shoot. I got 22 mag.
You got the 22 mag cylinder. That's one thing I don't have for my single six. My dad has one.
They make 22 mag cylinders for those?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if you could put a heritage cylinder in your... That's probably sacrilegious, isn't it?
Yeah, I wouldn't do that. You might be able to. But.
I don't know. We were playing it with the other night. His was a lot higher quality than ours.
The single six?
Maybe not after we fucking dropped it for 600 times.
Were you watching?
You told me that you dropped it.
Yeah.
A lot.
No.
I've played with it. He let me play with his Vaquero, too.
It's fine. No, I dropped it just as many times.
You let me play with your Vaquero, too.
Yeah.
I've also never shot your .44, so.
Really?
It's disappointing. We've never shot guns together, so.
Oh, you weren't there when we shot at Alan's place?
Nope.
Or this place? Huh. Weird.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But the big range day, yeah, when I blew up all the grill with the Tannerite.
Right.
But no, not like a We'll do one. We need to do one before he goes, because I got.
Yeah, you should, because I got a ton of tannerite.
Really? I got. You can't take it with you.
We should blow up the cabin.
Yeah, I can. Is it illegal in Texas?
No, but you're going to drive through Illinois.
It's illegal. Oh.
No, I'm not.
He's gonna go around it.
I would not be surprised if Jared went around it just so he could take tannerite with him. I don't know. Can we blow up tannerite here? Will we be allowed to? Could we?
But you realize I'm taking all my guns with me too, right?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, he's definitely driving around.
Yeah. I'm just going through Wisconsin. I'm making a joke. It's fine. But I'm talking about blowing shit up here. Is that going to be a problem?
We just got to get it pre-approved.
No, just all I have to do is talk to Alan and be like, hey, we want to do a range date before I leave. And he's going to be like, oh, yeah, no problem.
I'm going to get some pink foam.
We're going to do it on Easter.
Hell yeah.
I want to get some pink foam and to be able to pattern my turkey gun, because if you use plywood, it just ruins a piece of plywood.
Just use paper.
But a paper target doesn't have any rigidity to it. I want to have something that I can like set up. I guess it doesn't need to be that tall either.
You just put paper on a pallet. Staple paper.
Oh, you know
to
what I
pallet.
Could do? I could just get a piece of coral.
Or a piece of cardboard.
Or ACM.
Or fucking anything.
We've got a lot of substrates we could use. You like that? Fancy vocab word of the day? Substrates?
Substrates.
Nerd.
Yeah. A little bit. I was nerding out. My brother-in-law, Jared, was asking about the bow build I'm going to do. So I got to nerd out a little bit on that. Damn springs. So. Yeah.
I'm excited for that. We should do a YouTube build.
For a bow build?
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. We will.
That'd be sweet.
We'll do it. I think we've talked about it before, so I'll say it. But I think it'll be the first Matthews lift RS build. Without a bow press.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought you were buying a Bowtech.
I hate you so much. I hate you so much. You said that full chest, and I almost came across this table and slapped you across the face. For legal purposes, that was a joke.
Yeah, we're all friends here.
Yeah. I really like... We'll see. I tried calling Jay's. Obviously, they're without power and everything, so it's close. I figured they, like, maybe, I didn't know how bad that side of town was, so I figured, like, I'll just call them, figure it out. They had a message in there, like, oh, yeah, like, we're closed, you know.
Well, it's so weird, because, like, that Northern Performance or whatever, they have power.
Different side.
They got power, yeah, that's true, yeah. Because they're by, like, Lowe's, I think.
Yeah. So it's, I don't know.
So Jay still doesn't have power?
Yeah, well, I was talking to Grace about it. She said that most of Gaylord probably won't have power for like another month.
No.
Yeah.
Month?
That's what they were expected. No the way. Outskirts of Gaylord won't have power for like another
Dude,
month.
That's fucked up.
So, like downtown Gaylord, they've got like the big stuff. Places who would have generators, right? So Walmart, yeah. Meijer. Some of the shopping centers are open,
right.
Gas stations.
Yeah.
So you can get through, you know, you're not completely stranded hotels. They've got power, but big substations, all the lines are down.
That's crazy.
You know, sad as fuck, man. It like.
It makes me want to buy a generator.
You should. You should have a little something.
Something.
Just to be able to power like your furnace and your fridge.
Right.
Yeah. I would definitely recommend it.
I'm going to look for a good deal on a generator after all these fuckers that have, you know, bought them. And
I know somebody who can probably get you a good deal on them.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Cheap.
Yeah, like, especially just something residential.
Yeah.
You know, if you're not trying to power your entire house, something that can power your well, your fridge, and your furnace, a couple lights.
Yeah,
you know, that's really all you'd need. Because especially where you're at, I wouldn't expect you to be without power for months on end.
A couple days, probably.
Most of the time when we lose power, it's within hours.
I've only lost power once for maybe a couple hours.
Yeah.
That was it. But yeah. I'm right next to the substation or whatever.
Yeah.
And all my shit's underground.
That helps.
Yeah.
That helps for sure. So it would be an issue with the substation.
Yeah.
They got to turn it off to work
right.
on something else.
But I'm also right next to the industrial park. So it's like, it's pretty set.
Yeah. Yeah, they need to keep that up and going for mm-hmm. sure. Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing like super crazy in there, but it's something.
My plan, because I've pretty much come to the conclusion that probably not my first house, but my forever house, I want to build. I don't want to buy.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have, it'll be outside, but it'll be a whole generator room. I'll just have something like enclosed to house a generator, and it'll just be all like automatic transfer.
Natural gas powered?
I don't know yet. Natural gas and propane, there's a lot of like different ways you can go with it.
Solar?
Probably wouldn't do solar, no. I'm not sold on solar. It'd work great for like a camper, you know, if you want to have like a little camper generate off-grid
yeah.
camping type of deal, you could do something like that, run a refrigerator and a heater. You could do something like that, but solar panels still, they're getting better, but they're still just really inefficient. It's hard because you'd have to have solar and then you'd have to have multiple battery banks.
Yeah.
You'd have to have that solar charge those batteries, you know, to 100%. Then you'd be able to use your power, and your solar would basically just be offsetting whatever you're charging from your solar panels is just offsetting what you're using. You know what I'm saying? Power in versus power out.
Right.
It's especially with the surface area that you would have for something like a camper to run anything substantial, your solar panels would have to be, your surface area would have to be much larger than your camper for anything large.
Yeah. But if you had like a house and you're planning like starting from some ground zero.
Yeah, you could cover the roof in solar panels, but the problem is like around here, they're going to be covered with snow for 6 months out of the year. Right. So unless you
still produce in the winter.
Not if they're covered with snow.
Wipe them off, you lazy fuck.
Right, you'd have to wipe them off. They'd produce very, very minimal power covered in snow. You'd have to wipe them off.
Where are you getting your information from?
People who use solar panels.
Okay. Because I'm getting it from my parents who have solar.
They have solar out there?
Yes. And it produces in the winter.
Do they backfeed to the grid?
Yeah. No, they don't do batteries. Batteries is dumb. Batteries, by the time that the solar would pay for the cost of the initial panels and then the cost of the batteries, you need to replace the batteries.
Yeah.
And then you're trying to pay it off.
You can do it. You can do it in different ways, too, because you can use batteries if you use, like, refillable, like, water instead of, like, an acid battery. You use the ones where you put distilled water in there.
Yeah.
Those you can get a little bit more longevity out of, but it requires a lot more maintenance too.
Yeah. But they backfeed the grid, and they haven't had an electric bill in, I don't know, since I got it.
Get up here, fatty. Dog's trying to get on the couch.
She's a little chunk.
She's just a little short to get up here by herself.
She gets up here just fine when no one else is looking.
She can be a problem.
Yeah. She's a lazy little piece of shit. Little gremlin dog.
You know what would be cool? Would be the Bows and Brews competition.
Yeah.
If we made that into like a little fun competition, put that on a YouTube channel. Have some sort of challenge with it, you know? Like UltraView just released a video.
How would you make that a challenge?
Well, that's what I'm getting at. UltraView just released a video. They did a game called Release Roulette. So you put everybody's releases and then a bunch of like rando releases in a hat, and you just like pull one out. And you're like, okay, everybody has to shoot one leg, you know, one arrow of this leg with this release. You all shoot, and then you go to the next one. So that'd be, you know, you have a balloon at 40 yards, and it's like, okay, everybody's got to try to pop this balloon with, you know, I got to use Justin's release, or you got to use my release, or whatever. I think that'd be cool. Especially if you did it with, like, a trad bow.
Does the release make that big of a difference? I'm just curious.
It depends
on... I've always used whatever's cheap, and...
So, it depends on who you ask.
Have you ever shot a pistol or a rifle with a really nice trigger versus a really shitty trigger?
Well, I mean, so the SIG has an upgraded trigger, and it's supposed to be really nice and adjustable, and my buddy let me shoot his compared to mine, which was the very base model, and I didn't really notice the difference.
Really?
So
here's...
I think if you were to get, like, you know, compare the Ruger AR that I have versus someone who's built an AR that has a really nice trigger in it, or same thing with pistols, if I was to grab a space gun versus my gun, I think then maybe it'd be noticeable, but otherwise I haven't noticed a difference.
The big thing that people talk about with releases is, like, somebody like Kirk, who uses his release as an anchor point. That's where you can run into trouble with releases. So for me, I shoot a UV button, thumb button release, but I can also shoot my hinge release, which is a Scott Ascent, and I can hit the same target because I don't use my release as an anchor point. I consistently put it on my jaw, but my main two anchor points is my nose button on my string, and then I'm aligning that peep sight. And as long as your peep sight is aligned the same way, it shouldn't matter what release you're using. The problem that guys get into is if you're using a handheld release versus an index style release or different types of handheld releases, you're going to apply different face pressure to the string, which is going to cause your arrow to have a slightly different trajectory. But as long as you keep that consistent face pressure and anchor point, so for me personally, as long as I'm only touching the string with my nose, maybe a little bit of the side of my face, and I'm aligning my peep sight properly, I can shoot whatever release I want to. So I can shoot that traverse out there with an index style release, a hinge release, and a button release, which all have technically different anchor points on my jaw. But because I have the nose button and I align the peep sight with the scope housing, I'm good to go.
And I think,
but for you personally,
I think I have a few things working against me here. One, I just don't shoot a bow enough to notice that stuff. And the other thing is my bow, you guys, you're stopping or your full draw where it has that.
The back wall.
Stop. Yeah, the back wall. Mine doesn't have that. Like,
it's spongy.
You hit the back wall and you can sit there and pull it another, you know,
inch or so.
Half a centimeter, inch, I don't know.
When I think it, like, if you shoot any high quality release, you're going to be fine.
Jared's shooting a True Fire Patriot.
It's when you shoot a cheap release that has even a, you know, finger release or whatever.
If it's travel.
If it has travel.
Or slop.
Or if it's super heavy.
Yeah, that
just too. Just like a firearm trigger. You have a 8-pound trigger on something that's got a bunch of creep to it. It fucking sucks.
That True Fire Patriot, but A, has creep, and B, is probably... it's probably a 3-pound trigger pull. Like, it's light.
Yeah,
but compared to
is all right.
But my Scott,
but like
Little Goose,
yeah,
index release, or your Spot Hog
is like nothing. I mean,
is this Spot Hog?
Yeah, it's a Spot Hog. You touch it and it's
like, yeah, it's a gone. It's a,
you know, I will
half
say
a pound if that
with the pistols, like the AXG that I have, it is like, I think I don't notice it just because I've shot it enough now that I'm used to it. But like at first, it is definitely different than...
What's the difference between your AXG and your 365?
I don't really shoot the 365 that often. I know I should, because...
Because my 365, often, compared to my Shadow Systems, the Shadow Systems trigger blows the 365 out of the water.
Yeah, so my AXG is like... The base 320 that I had a little bit of creep. It didn't have much. And
the
then,
stock SIG trigger's pretty good, I will say that.
Yeah. But the AXG one, there's like nothing. You barely squeeze and it's going off.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have, I don't think it really has any creep. It doesn't have play.
Yeah.
Like, it's got a little bit of take up, that first initial take up.
Yeah,
you know?
Where there's take up, there's creep, there's over travel.
Yeah.
That's what, like, I don't like a lot of trigger or a trigger with a lot of over travel.
That's the problem with the SIG stock trigger. Because he has an upgraded trigger with his FCU, the fire control unit, and the AXG. Because they put like their gold trigger, whatever the hell's in it.
Right.
But that's the problem with my 365 is there's no travel. There's just like there would be like a little bit of travel, maybe a little bit of creep, depending on how you would define that. Then there's a snap to the actual trigger itself, and then there's over travel. So that reset is a lot further than I personally like.
Right.
Compared to my Shadow systems, I'm as soon as I put my finger on that trigger, it breaks right there, and the reset is maybe a 1/16 of an inch. You know, it's super, super tight. The dog has something to say. I think she just wants to eat the microphone.
Yeah, she doesn't like the factory SIG trigger.
No, she doesn't.
She says her 365. It's terrible.
Yeah. She has the Rose.
She bites it and it squeaks.
Should get one of those little dummy guns, you know, like the practice.
Yeah, the
one that's made
ones.
Of rubber or whatever.
Yeah.
Get it for a chew toy.
I would 3D print you one, but she'd probably destroy it.
Wow, she's offended by that.
Yeah. She's like, I'm not a Glock dog.
She looked at him like,
I'm not a Glock dog.
She says, I don't want no horse cum gun.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah.
That's right.
Talk shit.
She's pissed.
Yeah, she is. She's offended that I said she was a Glock dog. What did she say? Which brand did she like? High Point?
No.
She turned her. She gave me the cold shoulder.
Yeah, she's just like.
I said High Point. She turned around.
She's like, we don't even joke about that.
Are you a Nighthawk dog?
She says, I like the SIG.
You want a stiletto? No? Okay. Yeah. You ever looked at some of those like crazy high-end guns?
Oh, I look at them. Yeah.
Yeah. I really want that Magnum Research revolver. 30-30.
Dude, you gotta buy the 45-71.
No, I can't hold on to 45-71 handed. I might be able to do it with 30-30 though. You think you can hold on to a 45-70 in a revolver one handed?
Yeah.
With a 10-inch barrel?
It's heavy as fuck, dude. You'd be fine.
You think so?
I mean, maybe not like full power 45-70. I don't know.
I don't even know if you could shoot full power.
Probably not. They probably have to download them.
You can only, I mean.
There's no way. They probably out of a cylinder like that.
Guys,
like there's,
well, the cylinder watch, probably only holds like 4 Kentucky rounds. Ballistics.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some of the big ass shit that he shoots.
Yeah.
Well, he shoots 500 Magnum out of it.
I kind of want to shoot some of the stuff that he shoots.
What do you think?
Just
of,
to see.
How do you think like, a 500 Magnum compares to a 45-70 or a 30-30 out of a revolver? You're talking about shooting a rifle cartridge out of a revolver. I mean, that cylinder's got to be 3.5 inches long.
Not as. I don't think it's as powerful as a.
Though they shoot a 720 grain bullet out of it, I bet
yeah,
it
but
kicks
it's not
just,
that fast.
Yeah, but I'm just talking recoil.
Right.
You're gonna snap your wrist.
I'm just saying, you look at that dude's arms, and you look at how much the gun kicks. Like,
yeah.
I actually.
Ouchie.
They're snapping pretty good.
Oh yeah.
Does he have big arm? Like, is he?
He's built like a fucking brick shit house.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Pistols are different. Like for me, like rifles, I can shoot any rifle. Like I'm not scared of that. But the pistols,
it's
are,
not
it's
so
because like,
I watch Matt Carricker.
He's got two handed.
I yeah. watch Matt Carricker with Demolition Ranch.
Yeah,
I watched him frequently. What he talked about with shooting 500 Magnum because he has Smith & Wesson 500 Magnum.
Mm-hmm.
What he talked about is it wasn't your wrist. It was the...
It twists.
It twists the grip.
Yeah.
And so it was the grip that would dig into his... It was like punching his hand.
That's
so
how...
like, I shoot two rounds and it's like, ah!
That's how my 44 mag is in the Vicar Arrow.
Oh, really?
Because it's not... That it's gun's short, not designed for that.
Yeah, it has a short... Does it have a shorter handle like the... it's like an older style?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But like the Ruger like super Blackhawks and shit.
Yeah, they got that long with the
they're,
finger grooves.
They're made for yeah. higher recoil.
Well,
this
like
gun
a
is not,
like a 500 Magnum would be.
Oh yeah.
You know,
if you shot that in like a single action style, like it would.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. No.
I also hate I've come to the conclusion I hate double action because the trigger pull is just too heavy. And so it's
you
hard
can,
to be accurate.
You can shoot them single action.
No, you can. You can 100%, but so Jake has, I don't even remember. It's a shorter 9mm round. You know what I'm talking about.
A 380?
No. It's a 9mm, but it's an, instead of a 9mm Luger, it's a 9mm, it's a German type of.
Instead of a 9x19, it's like a 9x.
Yeah, 9x12 or something like that. Damn it. I don't remember the name of it. Anyway, he has this little like carry pistol type of deal that the first shot can be double action or single action. So that first trigger pull is like, you know, 5 pounds. Squeeze, bang, and then it's single action after that. Bang, bang, bang. You semi-auto.
Well, that's how like the...
Like a 226 or something.
Like M9s or like Beretta 92s.
Yeah, 100%. The same way. Yeah. I just don't like that heavy trigger pull. It's harder for me to be accurate with a really heavy trigger pull. Like my my bow release, for example, I guess to bring that back, is zero travel and light tension. You know, so. I don't know. You don't shoot buttons, though. You shoot an index release for everything.
Yeah. I just like it.
It works, dude. There are professional, you know, guys who make a living shooting their bow that shoot index releases.
Yeah.
Most of them punch the trigger, but, you know, that'll win you tournaments. So there's that. You make money. I think we're going to wrap this up here. But, yeah, that's a good episode. Talked about a lot. Longer
we
one.
We talk about it. What do we have for time?
140.
Oh, yeah. Shit. All right.
Dog's getting a little antsy, so we'll pay her some attention. And, yeah. We appreciate everyone for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and want to follow us on Instagram, that's KnoxandNature_podcast. If you're going to be at the Total Archery Challenge events in Michigan, either Boyne Mountain or Crystal Mountain, Justin and I will be in attendance there. Also, if you see a lanky white dude walking down the street with a Knox and Nature hat somewhere in Texas, that's probably Jared. So go ahead and say hi to him.
White lanky dude. Fuck you.
He'll probably be wearing a Wobros. He'll probably be wearing a Wobros Pearl Snap FR shirt and cinch jeans with Ariat boots.
Fair enough.
Be driving a once he gets down there, he'll be driving a 78 Ford pickup.
Pancake hood inside,
yeah.
With a MIG welder.
Yep. Carbon fiber. Yeah. It was a good time. So, appreciate everyone for listening. We'll catch you in episode 21.